Now, I think most people know what the travel assessment problem is, so let me run through it very fast. The airport assessment covers some locations which are known in the racket as cities. For instance, it would cover Boston, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. And, say he lives in New York City, he wants to go to all these appointed locations and come back home. So for instance, he could start from New York, go to San Francisco, then go to Boston, then go to Los Angeles, and back home. Okay, so this is one example of what's one possible schedule for him. This is what we call a tool. And this is a tool of artificial intelligence as well. And it will be traversing the continent four times takes time and money. It will be better just to go around in a cyclic way. Okay, so the problem is, given those entities with a cost of travel within every pair, the cost can be time, can be money, whatever, find a tool which is the cheapest. Well, where does the problem come from? If you want to stretch the points, this is the earliest printed reference to it. That's a book of general wisdom, well, what the type of sense, right? Book of general advice for travel salesmen. It touches on the problem but doesn't say much. It does say that if you are smart, you can save time and money, and it's important never to go to the same city twice. Karl Menger discussed it in his seminar. There are reports on that, and then eventually, somehow, over the 20 years, the problem across the Atlantic to New Jersey. There was a bunch of people at Princeton who had a go at it and failed. One of them, Ariel Flat, brought it to California. Another group of people had a go at it and failed. Eventually, the problem really acquired this reputation for being a hard nut. It became notorious. To the point where Rand offered a prize for anybody who can say something reasonable about it. The prize has never been awarded. Now, this is a real milestone. If there is one most important moment in the life story of the salesman, that's it. Those three people came up with a method for solving the problem. It's a seminal, revolutionary paper with many ramifications, reaching far beyond the salesman. And what they mean by large scale is 49 cities. Okay, so this is the important issue, most important moment for the professionals. For the general public, the milestone might have been this. This is probably, I think, that the problem really made it to the general consciousness. Here is the poster that they distributed. There was this, just was before political correctness, so those two books were stupid, and you were supposed to help them. Anyway, thanks. And after that, the trend that was started by Dancy Fighter von Thorsten continued, and people were solving harder and harder problems. Now, where do those problems come from? Dancy Fighters from Johnson picked 49 cities in the US. The 120 cities in Germany, 530 cities in the US again, 666 all over the world. Okay, so that's one source. You just make up others. The 318 and 2000 and some, those come from drilling holes in printed circuit boards. When you want to manufacture a printed circuit board, there are three type positions of the holes. You have a laser drill that you move around. So we have both of them. And this might look to some as not really progress, right? I mean, after 2400, we dropped suddenly to not even 700. That looks like regress. But people who think that way think that size is important, which it is not in this context. Right? What is the problem? Heart is not the size. Right?
I think
even if you don't have the professional training, you could also have 50,000 city problem if I draw those cities for you on a cycle. Right? So it's a big problem which is rapidly easy on the one hand. On the other hand, we can manufacture problems which are reasonably small, a couple of hundreds, which are very tough for everybody. Okay? So in that sense, 666, actually one might say it's more difficult than the previous one. Okay, so there's progress. So what is it that those people do? Is it theory? No. And we call something a theory if there are theorems, right? If people say something meaningful, something non-trivial, Rand never gave the prize precisely for that reason. In fact, I think the prize should have been given to Card, Laura, Tarjan, and Cook, or between them, showing that the problem is what we call empty complete, right? Technical definition of it is very hard. And that result showed that, in a way, we cannot hope for any size theoretical result, subject to some an article of faith, P for MP, right? There will never be any shiny theorem of the kind that Rand envisaged. So it's not theory. If anybody can use applications, don't take candy shopping. This is not applications. I mean, those two problems and others like that can't run drilling holes in the board, but see, if I'm going to manufacture printed circuit boards, I will hire somebody who will find me a pretty good, pretty cheap tool. And I will not worry about that tool being really optimal. Right? I will not worry about somewhere there being a tool which is by 0.5% cheaper. Right? And you can get within that 0.5% very fast. People who do this kind of job, they worry about really solving the problem, really getting the absolutely best tool. Right? So they spend the first 1% of their time finding such a tool, and the remaining 99% proving that the tool is optimal. Right? Now any business manager with any sense would not hire this bunch. Right? And so if it's not theory, if it's not applications, what is it? What is this? That's a historic comment. Gary Kasparov just beat the pass of the blue. Right? Is it theory? Right? Is it application? Is it sport? Right? And that's precisely what you see here is to artificial intelligence. What you see there is to mathematical programming. This is a sport. Right? This is saying, my daddy can beat up your daddy. So this has been going on for some time. Recently, one of the people who are actively involved collected problems that people work on into a library that you can get from the web.
And
how many minutes do I have left? Three. So, what I want to report on is that we have not done too badly in here. In 1991, there were about 100 problems, 23 of them unsolved. We solved more than half of those. Now, each of those names is some letters followed by the number of cities. Right, so those are the biggest ones we solved in that order, and having solved the last one, there was still one form in outside, and that was the top one, which is 225 cities. Because that problem was artificially concocted to be hard. Right? So in some sense, that was harder than the 7,000 and something days. We even got press publicity before this. It was fun. It was something from your friends. There were a couple of magazines in this, some other magazines in some other foreign countries. And let me show you pictures, and I will be done talking. So, for us, those last 3 months and the first one were the ones that made us happiest. This is the 3,000 and some. This is what the drilling problems look like. And you get those horizontal vertical patterns. That's a drilling problem. So by that measure, this is not a drilling problem. What is it? What do you think? This whole vertical line, clearly, I mean, this is San Andreas, right? And here might be a big city. What's that? That is Germany, right? Not a country anymore. And so here is the biggest BD that we solved the test to try to count 7,397 cities. And last, here is the nasty one. The nasty one was promoted by three Germans. They start with 25 cities like this on a grid. Right, that would be an easy problem. Now you take each of these unit segments and stick 5 points on. So you get 225 cities. And everybody can see what the optimal two is. That's what it looks like. So we took a deep breath when we go here. This is all less annoying that we can do 7,400 and we cannot do 225. So, thank you. I'm done talking.